Hi guys, I'm Violet Benson. Welcome to another episode with me on every Thursday on Too Tired to Be Crazy. Today, I have two special guests. I actually just did their podcast and now we're doing mine. Their podcast is Women on Top.
Bottom of the side.
Just kidding. Just on top. Which was inspired by their favorite sex position.
No one likes on top, do they?
It's all about reverse cowgirl. Reverse cowgirl.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about just laying there.
And it's the muscle tone in your legs to try to like keep that shit up.
Yeah.
No, when you have
kids. It's a lot of work.
Sometimes when you have kids, you're like, I don't want to look at myself in that position.
Oh my God.
Again.
Yeah. And then it's just like, and for me, sometimes I get on top and I'm like, oh, this feels like I've been here for a while and it's like been like 2 minutes and I'm like, all right, let's switch.
Yeah.
I do it. But then like, I feel like I've practiced in front of a mirror though before.
Me? Yeah. Oh, sorry. It's fine.
I feel like I've practiced before in front of the mirror of what I think I look like. But then I forget that they're more the bottom. So I don't know. I feel like I do try to stretch my body and like lean a little backwards.
I hold my boobs up and my stomach because Roxy knows this. When you have kids, your stomach stretches out and your abs and your skin stretch and your boobs kind of sag a little bit post. I mean, some people's don't, but my right boob is definitely much lower than my left. So like while he's like from behind, I like hold it in. I just hold myself.
Oh my God, I hate when you're having sex from the back and then your boobs are just sagging and they clap each other sometimes. Yes. And you're like, this is so embarrassing.
So
like,
embarrassing.
Are you serious right now? Like, you like this? Yeah, I do want to kind of hold my boobs up or something.
Yeah.
But all you guys, we could solve this whole problem with reverse cowgirl.
You talk about that so much. Yes. What is reverse cowgirl?
Reverse cowgirl is being on the top side,
Texas.
Flipping. I get my cowboy boots on and my hat.
I get it.
You ride on top,
but you're facing
the back.
The other way.
So they only see your ass. So it's kind of like you can like play the thing.
Yeah.
You
know? I practice that in front of the mirror as well on how to perfect that. I feel like it's like, I hate that, you know, from watching porn. Then you're just like, oh, I got to do it the same way the porn stars do, which you never do.
And I don't watch girls do porn.
Never?
Do you watch girls do porn?
What do you mean? Is it just a bunch of dudes fucking each other?
I'd rather watch gay porn because you know it's honest.
Oh, is that what you watch then?
Yes.
Oh, then no, I don't watch that.
What kind of porn do you watch?
Sometimes woman on woman, massage porn.
Oh.
I'm really into the massage porn. Sometimes I speed through it.
Yeah.
Or like
the good bits.
Or I hate when sometimes I'm watching like whatever's on the website, but then sometimes it'll be like, I'm trying to watch it and you're like masturbating, you're in the middle, and then suddenly she'll say, oh my God, but you're my brother. And you're like, what? Yeah. What the fuck? Like they're not even stepbrother? Not even stepbrother, just brother? Oh. And you're like, oh, I'm in the middle. Like I'm about to come. But then she just said like you're my brother. And it's like so disgusting. And you can't stop. But that just happened. You're like, oh, why are you talking?
Now you're talking about your brother.
I don't have one, thank God.
I like weird porn though.
Oh, tell the fantasy. Please tell the fantasy.
I have this obsession with desperation that really turns me on. Like a guy who can't actually get laid. That is such. So like for me, it's like the pizza guy who, you know, is kind of a little heavy set and he comes to the door and like, you know, he just can't get laid. And I'm like watching from like the side and I'm like,
maybe
come in, don't worry about it. I'll be in the other room. And he sits there, he like unzips his pants. He's like sweaty and gross. And he's like, I just can't have sex. and then he gets off and he's like, oh, I just need someone and I can't. And that to me is such a turn on. Like, I don't want that to happen in my real life. I don't want the guy to come to my door. But the idea of someone who like has a blow up doll or something like that, I'm like, that is funny to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of lonely guys on the internet that will definitely make your dreams come true.
Yeah, should go to therapy more often.
Yeah, they're Googling Tam and Sursa.
There's this one porn thing that I think I watched years ago that's still, I guess, in my memory, one of my favorite, but it's not. But it's a plumber guy that comes to fix the plumbing. And like basically this girl, she's being playful with her boyfriend. Mm. So he puts handcuffs on her. Then he hears somebody coming, like knock on the door. He's like, oh shit, it's your dad. Like, I can't be here while your dad's here. And then he runs out and she's like, oh my God, babe, I'm still like, ah, the cuffs. And it's like, how relatable? I'm sure that happens like all the time. So he runs away from the balcony. He's gone. She's still handcuffed to the bed. She's naked. The plumber, of course, realizes the door's open, just walks in. Then he sees her. And then she's like, oh my God, like, let me out. And he's like, are you sure? And then he just starts touching her because obviously there's no such thing as like consent anymore in these porn videos. And then as he's touching her, she's like, well, maybe I'm not sure. But like, for some reason, it just turns me on that she's like in handcuffs. So maybe that kind of tells what I'm into.
Is he hot or is he like not attractive?
His dick is so nice.
You didn't even say. I'm like, if he's really unattractive and got pimples, I'm like, that's sexy.
No, he's hot. And then like, he starts touching her and then suddenly she's like, all right, she's into it now. She forgets she has a boyfriend or that her dad's supposed to come home. Then they fuck, eventually lets out of the handcuffs. Honestly, the sex is great. I miss that. I should rewatch it. I haven't seen him forever.
Because anyway, magically had the key. Is that how she got out? How'd she get out of the handcuffs?
Yeah. Oh.
You didn't get that far. You're like, I finished and I was done. No, was that funny?
No, then they move to the living room. They have sex there. Anyway, they come and he leaves. The only thing that always bothered me about that porno was like, well, the toilet's still broken. Are you guys gonna fix the toilet? So like, what? Is there a sequel? Yeah.
Did he wash his hands and he's fixing the toilet?
He did it.
That's exactly where my mind like would go.
He unplugged the girl. Did he poop on his hands? Did not unplug. What's happening? That's the only thing that pisses me off. It's like with these storylines, I'm trying to figure out like the ending, and the ending is always on the girl's face, never to fix the toilet.
Why is it on your face? Why?
Is that even like a turn on?
I think it's a degrading thing, which it's supposed to be turn on for men.
For men, yeah.
The husband is. That's the one thing. He's so
wait,
not degrading.
I feel like I should introduce you guys.
They're like, who the fuck are these people? Get them off here.
Okay, why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Because I have a problem with always saying people's last names wrong, and I'm just sick of that. So you guys go ahead.
Like, because I don't know who you are. Yeah. So my name is Tamin Sursok, like Sir Sok. My actual last name is from Lebanon, but I'm not Lebanese, funnily enough. I was born in South Africa, raised in Australia. Oh, did you want my whole life story?
Yeah.
Raised in Sydney, Australia. I used to be on a show back in the day called Home and Away, but recently I was on a show called Pretty Little Liars. I played Jenna, a visually impaired character. I have my glasses on right now and I'm touching you all over the place. And we started a podcast, Roxy and I, about a year ago called Women on Top, and it's going gangbusters because of you guys listening to it. And we talk about all the things. We're super honest and talk about sex and relationships and things that no one really wants to speak about, and having kids and vaginas and all that kind of stuff.
And boobies and all the things. And I am Roxy Manning. I am from Texas. I actually am half Pakistani, so that's like a fun little mix.
Do the accent.
Oh, Betty, what you doing?
She can do that because her dad's like, she can do that.
Yes, I can do it.
She can do it because of her dad.
That's right. And grew up in Texas and then moved out to Los Angeles, and I'm a red carpet host, so I interview people on the red carpet, obviously, and parlayed that entertainment hosting experience, and we now have the Women on Top podcast, which we love so
much. Which is on every
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
She knows Wednesday. I'm like, what is it? When is it on? She's a good marketing girl.
Yes, right.
She's a social media whore.
How did you guys find each other?
It was like kismet. We have two kids. We have three kids between us. We have two children that are the same age, 6 years old. And we met at school, and the minute I met her, I just knew it was on. You know, we finished each other's sentences. We showed each other our boobs within the first, like, 2 weeks, and I'm like, she's my kind of girl.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was for. I think it was just because we got a facial together, like, the first couple of weeks that we met, and then the doctor was like, you know, you could fix your boobs and your stomach, so all of a sudden we're just standing there, no clothes on. He's got, like, lines all around our boobs. We're like, we don't
from
love
ourselves.
From the
facial, he went to that?
Yes. Yes. Again, no one cares about consent anymore. Right. And then we just kind of fell in love. Proverbial love, yeah.
And that was it.
That was it.
That's
that
awesome.
It.
Yeah.
That was it. We
So yeah, like I said a second ago, I don't know if I said it or not, but I just recorded their podcast before recording mine. We had a really good episode on theirs. I even cried, which people have been listening to Too Hard to Be Crazy. It's not that you're not used to me crying, but some moments I just like tear up. I can't help myself, but I was really scared that because I was already feeling so many emotions talking about whatever we talked about on their podcast. I was nervous that I was going to be a Debbie Downer on mine. No. But luckily, we just talked about porn, so it kind of hyped me back up. So I feel good to go. So I can tell you guys it's going to be a good, promising podcast.
And we will always bring that porn back up for you if you ever need it.
Just ask us.
I mean, I had so many different questions, but I just loved how on your podcast when we're doing just did the episode, like it was just kind of flowing around. And, and now I'm kind of like, I want to pick... No, I just want to pick back up of like a lot of things that we're talking about. So I don't even know because usually I start with what is it called? Shoot, what's the what's the English word to break the ice?
Icebreaker.
Oh, icebreaker. It's just like something AKA that breaks icebreaker. The ice. Icebreaker. I'm so dyslexic. Icebreakers usually you know, start with icebreakers, but maybe we'll even have to skip it. Yeah. Okay, one thing that I was just really confused about is that before we started the podcast, you were just talking about you were talking about your love for anal, which
oh my
really
gosh, I didn't, I don't know if I said my love for anal.
You were just like, I like love it so much, I miss it.
No, I didn't say I love it so much. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty enjoyable. I don't have it in my my husband.
She's currently lacking anal.
The problem
anal
is with your
husband.
Podcast, I can't cut stuff out, so I have to be very careful about what I say.
No,
so I have to be very careful about what I say. But I think women should try it. I think it's awesome. I think when you orgasm, it is so intense.
You orgasm from your butthole?
You can. Yeah, there's a lot of things going down
there. Is
there
a secret button back there?
No, how does it go? It's just a butthole. Just that hole. There's a lot of different nerve endings and things that go on in that area. That's why gay guys, obviously, that's how they can orgasm as well. And I think for women, like, we should talk about it. I think there's lots of different things that are interesting and sexy. And I feel like in this day and age, even though we're so connected, I feel like we're so disconnected. And you talk about sex, we talk about sex, but a lot of people don't. They don't feel comfortable talking about it. And yet we see so many images out there of violence and death and destruction and pain. And yet the female form and nudity and sex is so taboo. And I feel like we have a problem with vulnerability in the world right now, and especially society. And I'm like, you know, let's talk a bit of anal and show a bit of a nipple. Like, it's okay. Like, we'll be okay.
So tell me about when you lost your anal virginity.
I actually lost it before my virginity because I wanted to stay a virgin.
Because I literally just talked about this, the podcast is, so technically it'll already be out. So I just talked about my podcast with Gabriel where I said, it's a known fact, not to upset anyone, but everyone always says God has a blind spot and it's your secret door.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. That's a love good
one it. I actually lost it that way first because I didn't want to lose my virginity, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was wonderful.
Was the guy small?
Very.
Thank God.
Now, hopefully he doesn't no daddy issues or anything because he'll be like, what? He was, very small.
Oh, so that's why it was enjoyable. That's actually the perfect person to have it with, especially for the first time.
Well, then, but why do so many people like to find a guy with a big dick to do it? Because I don't get.
Anal?
For anal. Like, I've heard the stories where, like, some people are like.
But who's saying that? Guys?
Guys. Like, other guys. Remember? Like, we were talking to.
Yeah, to Ted Gibson. Hollywood. Hairdresser to the stars.
But that's different because men have a G-spot in there. Women don't.
In so your that, butt.
You don't have a G-spot in your butt. That's the prostate. Men have that.
Right.
For women, it can still be pleasurable. You can be horny to have anal sex, but sometimes the way the penis hits inside your butthole, it hits into your vagina, into the G-spot in your vagina. Huh. So some women, it hits that, but you don't actually have a G-spot inside your ass. It can be a turn-on. It can feel good. Uh-huh. You can touch yourself at the same time. You're like stimulating your clitoris. I'm not even a sex therapist. I don't know how I'm talking about this. This is all based on research and Google. I'm talking to other sex therapists.
WebMD.
Like, it's not like I'm having really anal good. Like every weekend. I'm like, this
but
is
you
a...
should try it.
Would have you tried it?
Yeah. The first time I had anal, I cried.
Well,
I was crying during it.
Well, you seem to cry quite a bit, so I don't know if it's from the anal. I don't know if it's from the anal, like you were thinking about something else.
No, I was like, because my boyfriend that I tried it with had a pretty big penis. At least that's what I thought. I mean, every time we were together for so long, but every time I felt like I was loving him less, his penis kept getting smaller in my eyes.
Yeah, so it gets uglier too.
It's weird. Yes. But when I first loved him, his dick seemed really big to me. So now I can't tell anymore if it's big or not, to be honest. Because when I stopped loving him, it seemed pretty small.
Yeah.
But at the time, it felt like it was really big. So supposedly he said he had 8 inches. But guys lie all the time.
What's 8 inches?
8 inches is like, that's pretty.
Based on Google,
it's only like 10 to 15% of men worldwide supposedly actually have a real 8-inch dick.
Huh. So what's average?
Average is 5.5.
What's 5.5, Roxy? She's my ruler to my right.
Average
tiny.
Average is actually
big,
right?
Is that 5.5?
5.5 this?
Is that really 5.5?
Okay. No, it can't be that. It's like going to be.
I don't know.
Is it right here?
I once had.
Is 5. No, actually, average is 5 inches.
Is it?
I've had sex with a really small guy and a really big guy. And it's just as bad. Don't you think?
If it's bad, you mean?
No. If they're really small or really big, it's just as bad.
Yeah. I mean, I've even talked about this with guys. In my opinion, everyone wants to fuck a guy with a big dick, but no one wants to end up with one.
No.
It's just too many problems. It's going to give you yeast infections, UTIs, like all that stuff. Your vagina is always hurting. Eventually, you just want to settle with a guy that has an average D, even a small one. You don't care. Just like, you know, to love and hold you and not tear up your vagina, you know?
Mm-hmm. I orgasm for the first time internally with my husband.
That's cool.
And it happened really fast.
What does it feel like?
You've never done inside?
Like, no.
G-spot?
She's gonna cry.
She's like,
I hope I cry again.
The tears.
I guess it feels, I mean, I don't know the first time. Now I know it's about to happen. So like, wow. I know I'm gonna orgasm.
Is it a feeling that you're gonna pee?
A little the first time you do it, but sometimes you have to be careful because you might just pee. So don't quote me on it. All these women out there are just like pissing the bed. Like, please, like, please don't. I'm not in the medical field. But you kind of feel like it feels good. And then you actually stop feeling anything from your clitoris. I do. So it's almost like you can't orgasm from your clitoris inside at the same time. Does that make sense? It's not like you're getting stimulated from the outside.
Or maybe for your body.
Or maybe from my body. But I feel it coming on and then I just like stop and I don't say anything to him because I know if I do, he's going to change everything.
Yeah, I get so excited.
So I get really quiet. Yeah, I'm just like, okay, nothing's happening. And then I'm like, whatever. I mean, I hope I don't sound like that.
What does it feel like? Is it like the orgasm does feel different from like a clitoris orgasm?
It's a rush. It's an internal rush. Like a boom.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I can help you. I can try.
Okay.
She's got all the tools.
I mean, okay. But like I also had a sex therapist on before and she said that it's another way that's faster to get an orgasm from inside the hole is if you get an orgasm from your clitoris, then you're more likely to get the orgasm afterwards from the inside.
See, I think that is what happens to me when I get the ones in a row.
She has like 20 at the same time.
I've taught myself how to have multiple orgasms from my clitoris.
I think the first one starts outside, like the clitoris.
Outside, okay.
But I think that's what happens because then it feels like what you're describing as the rush.
Boom.
Inside, yeah. And then
is he inside you when you orgasm on the outside?
Yes.
I don't like that.
Because I'm doing the manual.
Thank you. Thank you for your flipper fingers that I'm literally now envisioning you with David using your flipper fingers on your vagina.
I've never been able to masturbate with my hand. I don't believe that's a real thing.
You gotta do like, are you joking? I never do a vibrator, ever.
Only vibrators.
Like, but if it's like I need to get it done, I do my hand. Like, because
I always do my hand.
Yeah.
I'm just so bored.
You're so bored? Like, your hand cramps. Maybe it gets
tired. Just like when I'm playing, I've never played guitar. Like, I mean, I played the violin before, but
I feel like with your nails, it would be hard.
Obviously, with my nails, I'm not going to scratch myself. But like,
can I show you? Okay, this is the. You need to put your hand on it, and then split the fingers.
Oh, okay.
And then you need to be on a certain side, like the right side or the left side.
I thought it's like on the actual clitoris.
Wait, this is a new technique. Wait, say it again.
New technique. Slip. Does everyone not do this?
Split the fingers.
No, but the vibrator is so much faster.
And then what?
I never orgasm like that.
From a vibrator? No, but the thing is, I think also guys get insecure when you bring up the vibrator. I guess even apparently don't do it like the first time you have sex with them.
Because they feel inadequate.
Yeah, I never understand that.
It's like competition for them, right?
Yeah, I never understand. You have to have a conversation, whatever. Besides that point, it's that I never actually used it to put inside of me. It's even though it's dildos with the vibrator thing, it's just for my clitoris.
Yeah.
And it's just faster. And then, like, I've learned now how to have multiple orgasms by, like, using it in different places or whatever, which is so cool. Like, one time I masturbated and I came three times, which is the most I've ever came with anyone. It's pretty cool.
I've never done three with a man, ever.
I've never masturbated just touching myself. Like, it just,
That's all I do.
No, it's so weird. Like, I didn't know that's a real thing because I'm just like, because I see it in porn, but I always thought they were faking it. I was just like, there's no way that feels good.
No, you
good.
Can make it happen.
It's just rubbing your skin.
Yeah.
No.
But the water
jets. It happens so fast with me, too.
The water jets.
You guys, they're dry.
It takes, literally.
Isn't it wonderful we all masturbate differently?
I love that.
We should all get together
and
make a party.
So much more, we're alike and yet so different in so many ways.
But it's weird how, like, I'm able to sometimes, I feel like I'm still figuring that part out where I've, finally got comfortable with myself and my body mm-hmm. to masturbate and to even be able to masturbate multiple times. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, when I've in the past or like more recently, the my partners that I've dated, it's been hard for me to masturbate while I'm being intimate with them mm-hmm. and to come from that. Because I think I'm like suddenly feel not in control of my body, or I think I feel it's embarrassed and I've been like figuring that part out. Yeah.
And, you know, Brene Brown, who's like an incredible speaker, she talks about vulnerability is the key to true happiness. And especially when it comes to sexuality, like being able to be vulnerable within your own body with your partner or your husband is how true connection really happens. And that's, for me, when my husband and I are having sex, like, I like to have a lot of sex because I like feeling that connection where we're both really vulnerable, and he has to be just as vulnerable with me and his own body to connect.
And I've seen on another podcast you guys were talking about what happens when one person is more sexual than the other person, like what do you kind of do in that situation?
I'm definitely more sexual than my husband.
Yeah, I feel like I am too. Yeah. And it's like the more, like we were talking about this earlier, it's like the more stressed he gets with work, the less he wants to have sex. Like you would think it would be like the release and he'd want to do it that way. But I find the same thing. Like I feel like I want to have sex more. And it's like, but I'm really bad about making myself vulnerable. Like I don't want to put myself out there and then fear rejection from him if he doesn't want to do it. So it's hard.
And also men have to get an erection. I think we forget that
it's harder for them.
So it's like, I'm saying to my husband, I want to have like, my ideal is probably 4 times a week, right? We probably have sex once or twice a week. I'd probably like to up that number a bit. Not that much more, but more. But he has to actually physically perform. Like for me, I don't have to even feel horny and then I can get horny. For them, something has to happen. So we have to give them a little more understanding, especially with what they're going through. Maybe they're having an emotional day too. I think we disregard men in many ways, I think, especially in relationships. I think we expect them to, like you said, know what we're thinking all the time and to always give us what we need and perform. But they're emotional human beings too. And I think that we've put them down so much that they almost don't even know how to be emotional and how to talk and how to say, look, I don't want to have sex right now because I'm struggling. You know, they don't ever say that. They just feel bad within themselves because we say, like, men need to be bigger, faster, stronger, more testosterone, bigger dicks. Like, you know, they need to, like, you know, they need to save us. We need a man to save us.
Like, why, like,
you know,
getting an erection that makes you a man. Yeah. Like, if you go soft, like, you can't even fuck me anymore. Yeah. Like, you're not a man at all.
Yeah.
And, like, their poor self-esteem as well. Like, I think even postpartum, Roxy and I have children and I have a 1-year-old. I wasn't a safe place for my husband. Like, I was not, my hormones were all over the place. He didn't know how to handle a postpartum woman. And I expected him to show up for me. And how could he show up for me when he's never even been taught what to do when it comes to a woman that is losing her mind? You know, we don't have community or programs for men. They don't ask for help. Men just like sit within their own feelings, and then we wonder why there's so much violence and there's like shootings, and you know, men are taught to like, you know, there's suicides because we don't really give men the opportunity to feel.
We don't make a safe place for them. They feel embarrassed. It's like for them reaching out for help is being vulnerable, and a lot of times they don't feel like that's possible for them.
No, I think you guys are so right in that regard, especially from the emotions to sex. I agree, because I think a lot of times we don't think about the fact that all we have to do, not that we all we do is lay there, but like if we're not wet, we'll just use what is it called,
jelly or whatever. K-Y. Lubrication.
And that's it. You just like get well like that or whatever it is. But like with men, they have to get an erection. They have to keep the erection. They have to get out of their head. Oh, they can't be pre-comers. They can't come too fast because then you're going to get upset.
And they can't come too slow.
Right. And it's like, I think you don't think about those things. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I definitely forget about all those things that we're just talking about. And I definitely expect a lot during sex. And if I don't get what I need to get, like I've had moments where I was kind of rude to my partner, in the past or current, where I'm like, well, you didn't do this or whatever. So then I remember I made some rude comment. I don't know if I should say this because I'm not gonna say it.
But imagine a guy said to us what we say to them. Imagine a guy was like, you come too fast. Like, oh, why is it taking so long for you to come, Violet?
No, like, I can totally imagine.
Like, why aren't you wet? Like, the things that we say to men, I think, is sometimes completely unfair.
Oh, we forget sometimes I do it all the about time. Other people's feelings. Because, for example, I forget on which podcast I've talked about this with one of my my last partners. I remember last year we started to have sex, and I remember because he was insecure, he started making weird comments towards me. And I'm very confident during sex. I think that's when you're supposed to just, you know, let go of any insecurities. And the bedroom is when you're just supposed to be just like an animal, not an animal in a way where you're just fucking the shit out of that person. It's just an animal where your instincts are to just focus on you and the person and to like make love and to have sex with them and to have fun, not be like, are my thighs too big or whatever. But I remember he made some comment about the way I kiss. So like he can sometimes, oh, your teeth are really forward, or like, oh, it must be your veneers. That's why sometimes I feel like I can touch them through your lips. Whatever he said, weird comment about that, or like, you know, you moan really loud. And it was like comments like that. And then suddenly I remember I was just like, felt so self-conscious and secure because my brain as we're having sex was just like, oh fuck, like what's appropriate amount of moaning, or like I can't be myself. And I feel like I got to kind of experience what maybe guys go through sometimes. Or with one of my ex-boyfriends, I remember he made some weird comment one time that I was too wet. Until this day, sometimes I'll say with every time I have a partner, I'll be like, am I too wet? Is this okay? Even though guys love you being really wet. But he was just, my ex-boyfriend just made some random comment, probably because he couldn't get his dick up or whatever. Made it about me. And then to this day, like 8 years later, every new partner I have, I'm like, I just have to let you know, like sometimes I get really wet. Is that okay?
He's like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I once had a guy who was having sex with me and was like, oh, your stretch marks on your back aren't that bad. or getting better. That's what he said. The stretch marks on your back are getting better.
While he was inside of you? And you're like, wait, oh my God, I'm about to come.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Wait, that really turned me on. I mean, like, geez.
He should have just snapped his dick in half right there.
I'd be like, wait, tell me how also I'm never going to be loved and no one's ever going to support me in life. Like, wait, now I'm really going to fail.
I'm so horny.
Yeah, tell me I'm a fucking failure and I look disgusting right now.
I know.
Oh, nice. Yeah, but I agree with you about the conversation. How was it? Did you guys both experience postpartum depression after pregnancy?
You know, I think like I didn't have like the full fledged postpartum, but I always say like when I came home from the hospital and we talked about this, is that first like few weeks was literally the hardest time for me. Yeah. No one prepares you for it. You don't know what you're walking into, especially like I only have one child. So it was like my first and only. And like leaving the hospital, is like a vacation because you've got a million people waiting on you hand and foot. They're helping you breastfeed. They're taking the baby, changing the baby. You don't really have to do much. So then you get home and it's like a rude awakening and literally your hormones are going, you know, 10,000 miles an hour. So and my husband, David, couldn't do anything right. He was like, he tried.
What's his sign?
He's a Sagittarius.
Cool.
Sorry, Sagittarius.
Wait, so you're an Aquarius and he's a Sagittarius?
Yeah, that's
A wonderful match. My sister is a Sagittarius and her husband's an Aquarius.
Oh, really?
And I know this other couple that's getting married and they're also Sagittarius and Aquarius. So I think it's a really great match.
That's good. I feel like it's a good match. We just have to like make time for each other is our big problem is like really making the time and taking it's hard with kids and with work. You know, we're both entrepreneurs, so it's like a lot rides on what we do.
But why does the postpartum depression how does it hit some people, some women, and some women it doesn't? Like, how do you know when it's coming? Like, how do you know when you're going through it? I'm kind of curious about that, to
be honest. I had both. So I've got two kids. I had postpartum severe with the first one and none with the second.
Okay.
I think some of it is just what happens to your body and your hormones, and they're out of whack, and sometimes you can't ride that wave. But I will tell you what happened differently from my first and my second. One was community. I enlisted people to support me so I could support my child. I had a night nurse the second time, which I was so guilty to have the first time. And by the way, I was waking up 2 to 3 hours every night anyway. It just meant I wasn't looking over my baby to see if my baby was breathing. Someone else was doing that. So I was actually able, my anxiety went down. I was able to actually sleep for 3 hour increments in between the breastfeeding.
Wait, I just read about that. I mean, to interrupt you, but that's another crazy thing. There's so many things you're not aware of that
women
go through as being a mother, but I just read about it and I was so surprised. There was some funny meme that I didn't understand on Twitter, and then I had to read through it and everyone could relate. And it was basically about the thing of like when you see a baby, like they're just, you see a baby or a child and it's sleeping and or whatever, and then you check to make sure they're actually breathing. Like it's a second where you're like, wait, is my child breathing? And I was like, that's a thing. But apparently as a mother, you wake up in the middle of the night to make sure your child is breathing
all the time.
That's crazy.
And then I also had someone to feed me. I think nutrition is underplayed a lot when it comes to new mothers. I think that there are very specific grounding, nutritious food that you need to have to promote breast milk, to keep you emotionally and mentally stable, that help with your hormones regulating. And I had someone drop food off every single week that was just specifically for postpartum.
Wow.
And my postpartum period, the first time and the second time, were completely different experiences. Did I experience some postpartum with my second? Mm. Yes, but it was like apples and oranges. Also, the sleep deprivation no one talks about. It's a form of torture. Yeah. I ended up hallucinating with my first one because she was up every hour for 3 years almost. Like, she was a terrible sleeper. I ended up on medication for 6 months because I couldn't see straight. I would leave my car running. I would invite people to the wrong house. Like, sleep deprivation is a real thing. And I see these things online.
But they leave their baby in the car, right? Yeah,
and I'm like, of course they leave their baby in the car. I understand that.
Because they
You're so out of your mind that no one even, like, talks about these things. Even there was a woman in Florida. She had three kids. She tried to, like, drown her third kid. The first thing I thought of wasn't she's a psychopath. I thought, has anyone checked her for postpartum psychosis?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, she's had three kids. Her other kids are fine. It's like, we don't talk about these things. It's because, like, a real thing.
Because we're all trying to be perfect mothers.
Oh, yeah. Like, we don't want to share.
Because it's just assumed that, like, well, A, we don't talk about miscarriages as much and all that. So that's already one thing, because your body's supposed to produce. Like, that's part of being, like, being on this earth as a woman, your body's supposed to produce, so we won't talk about miscarriages. And then we don't talk about the postpartum depression, because it's like, as a mother, you're just supposed to wake up one day when you have a baby and you're just supposed to know how to be a mother,
and you don't.
You're supposed to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a thing too on Women on Top, on our podcast, is like, we wanted to create this
forum
that where we wanted everybody to feel comfortable sharing their stories, where they felt like a shitty mom, or they fucked up, or they weren't perfect, because God knows that, like, she and I, we tell our stories. There's takes when I'm like, am
every
I
day.
Even fucking, like, doing this?
Oh,
like,
my God.
What's going on, you know? So I think it's, like, important, like, that. Like, we saw the need, like, in what we needed, too, to, like, share with other women, you know? Because there's others out there that need
But
the
what
same
are
thing.
Some symptoms? And then the postpartum depression, is that something that someone who has battled with anxiety and depression should look out for after their mothers? Mm. Or can anyone get it, even if they never had depression in their life?
So I've never suffered depression. Okay. I've suffered anxiety my whole life, and I've talked about it on my Instagram and on the podcast. So the anxiety was bad after the first one, but I've never suffered depression. I woke up one day, and it felt like my body was made of glass, and I was going to break, and it came out of nowhere. And I was a zombie, and I didn't know. I was fucking scared. And I think that's what Roxy was talking about. Like, if I had had teachers, not always in the form of therapy, but like podcasts or information or community of women or a network of women where I could, like, look out for these things, I think I would have handled it a lot better. I was really scared.
Do you feel like some women out there, when they get that, they feel embarrassed that they're not being good mothers because they're going through their own emotions?
Well, that's the problem. That's because people don't talk about it. So that's why, you know, we are talking about it, because it's so important for people not to feel alone. Because if you look at, you know, a lot of the current images out there in the media, it's like, you have to be this perfect mom that, like, balances work and kids and, like, your husband and your family life, and you got to, like,
so much pressure. This,
so much pressure we put on ourselves, and a lot of times other women, you know. So that's another reason why, like, we needed to have this community, you know, and really show people that it's fine if you fuck up. Like, I fuck up all the time. Like, it's fine. Like, you are a human being, and, you know, be gentle with yourself.
People think that, like, once you become an adult, whatever you think adult time is,
it's like, know what you're doing.
Oh, now I'm going to have my shit together. And then when you don't, then first you're, like, upset about it. And then you see on social media, like, oh, okay, those people don't have their shit together either. That's relatable. But okay, in three or five years, then I'll have my shit together and I'll be happy. Then you, like, so it's like from 20, then to 25, then at 30, you're like, okay, by 30, I'm going to have my shit together. 30 happens. Now you don't have your shit together in other ways. And you're like, oh, shit, okay, by 35 then. And you never realize that, like, no part of life is to not have your shit together in new type of ways.
Right.
It's funny, though, too, because you were talking on our podcast about people, like, who can tear you down in social media, but I was not prepared for mothers who shame other mothers. And that is so, and that's what makes me want to cry, because that is shocking to me. We are all doing the best we can with what we have and the tools that we have and our upbringing and the trauma that we've gone through and the tools that we know how to put in place. And it's like to sit there and to spend your time pulling down another mother when she already knows that she can never be perfect is shocking to me. I have gotten everything from I couldn't breastfeed. I tried for a couple months and I didn't
succeed. And people shamed you for that?
They shamed me for the fact that my body didn't work as perfectly as it should have. And the fact that if I had my kid in the car and the seatbelt was like 2 inches or 1 inch in the wrong direction, then I was a shitty mom.
Oh, I remember that post.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just like the amount of effort it takes to bring down someone else instead of support them is shocking to me. And it is, I feel like it's even worse with mothers.
Do you feel like some people out there shame women for trying to juggle having a full-time job while being a mother?
They shame,
Oh yeah, all the time, because it's like they see, you know, it's obviously an insecurity with themselves and an inadequacy, but if they feel like they're threatened or they feel like another woman is maybe doing something they want to be doing, or, you know, whatever the reason is, that there definitely is that like backlash. And it's, and when you are like a person on social media that has a following, and you almost get it worse, I feel like, right? Like it's awful.
And they don't do it to men. Right. That's the funny thing is, like, my husband is a director and a producer and a writer. So when he's full on work, he's not that available, right? Mm-hmm. He did a movie when I was pregnant. He was gone for 3 months or 2 months. And no one was like, oh, your wife's there pregnant and like he's left you. Like, it's not a big deal, right? The kids were fine. And then when he's at home and like looking after the kids, like today he's picking them up and taking them to dance class and doing all that stuff. Like, and it's like, oh my God, it's like so amazing that he's doing that. And like, but women don't ever get passes. Like, oh, like I have to shoot a movie. I'm directing a movie in summer and people are going to be probably really angry that I'm a working mom.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like after, I forgot when this happened. Some award show, but some woman went to the, I forget if it was the man or the woman, but anyway, this couple had a baby, and I don't know, and the husband was there, like, still accepting an award, and no one said anything about the fact that, like, his wife just gave birth, like, the night before, but then if the woman went to get an award the day after, then it'd be back. You're not going to be with your child, like, are you serious? It's like, well, they made the child together. Like, it should be the same standards, but it is really funny how if you see, like, a dad, even, like, touching, being around their child, or just picking up from
like a saint
from school. You're just like, oh my God,
dad's picking the
like that's so amazing,
hands-on.
Yeah, so hands-on. They don't get dad shamed. It just isn't a thing, you know.
But how is it? How are you guys able then to juggle between being a working mother and spending enough time with your kids? Like, how do you know how much time is enough or whatever via standards? Or
it's funny because I tell Roxy this all the time. You can have it all. You just can't have it all at the same time. Yeah. And I feel that's really for women. That quote is for women. You can't have it all at the same time. And so you just have to realize that sometimes your attention will get more work and your kids won't. And then sometimes your kids will get more work. It has taught me to be present and in the moment because I know that time is fleeting and I'm never going to get everything wrapped up into one day. But it's interesting because I have been working so much the last 2 weeks and it's affecting my daughter's emotions. So I try to be really in tune with her. She seems really clingy right now. So I've backed off from a lot of the things that I'm doing. I'm trying to do it while she's in school. So I spend a lot more time with her. Now I still spend a lot of time with her, but make sure that I'm always there at nighttime. You just have to like be perceptive, I think.
You do. And it's like really reading your kids, but it is a guilty struggle no matter what. It's like when you feel like you're not 100% present or 100% giving like as much as you could to one or the other, the guilt is real. I mean, it doesn't go away. And I'd be interested to see too if stay-at-home moms, I mean, it's different for them, right? Do they feel guilty? Like, is it the same?
I think they feel guilty probably that they're not, you know, I know a few moms who are stay-at-home moms and they're more resentful if they've given up something to be, not if they want to be a stay-at-home mom, that's their decision, but if they've given up their career, not resentful of their children, but resentful in a way sometimes of the husband. I feel like sometimes it can come like with a bit of like bitterness, like I gave up my career to take care of the children and you're still having your career. Again, if you're a stay-at-home mom because you want to be, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder how you can find the balance, because I mean, like, it's so, it's still, the conversation hasn't fully changed where, because, you know, I come from public accounting, but it's very normal if you're in a, work for a really big company. It's kind of like if you're looking to grab a promotion, if someone found out you were pregnant, that's it. Your career is kind of almost over. Mm-hmm. Like, you're never going to make partner now. And it kind of sucks the fact that if you knew that a guy was about to have a baby with his wife, no one's going to be like, well, you're definitely not getting partner
right,
now.
Right.
But it almost feels like it's a decision. And with my recent manager, which is so weird, we parted ways, not because of this comment, but in the beginning of the year when we talked about my goals, I made a joke how like, oh, I want to get pregnant by the end of this year. And she was just like, oh my God, no, you can't. Like, that would ruin your career. And I was like, well, no, I would just change my brand to make it geared more towards, you know, being a mother versus talking about anal, I guess.
You can talk about anal and be a mother. Yes. That's what I don't understand.
Exactly.
Like, why all of a sudden do we have to put on our dresses and button them up and not have sex anymore? Mm-hmm. Why can't we still be a great mom and still have dirty thoughts? Like, why do they have to, like, cancel each other out?
But, like, what do you guys have to say to somebody? Because I am really curious about that fact about with, like, being a working mom, with the balance, like, finding the right balance between choosing to work while also having a child, because obviously I think that guilt will never go away, where you feel guilty if you want to pursue a career because you're just really passionate about having a career. Or some women make the sacrifice where they choose to not have children in order to have the best career, and it kind of sucks in my head that it seems like, why can men then have it all and women we have not figured out a way yet to be in order to have both?
I think biologically, the one thing I don't know if we do right, and I did it right within my second child, is I gave myself 8 weeks and I didn't leave the house and I bonded with my baby and I got that deep connection with her, and then I went back to work. Sometimes I feel like there's so much pressure on women to they have to go back to work, because if they don't, then they're gonna lose out, like you said, on like being successful. But when it comes to balance, I think it's just really about time management. Everything has to be really scheduled out, don't you think?
I think so. Yeah, you have to schedule things out. You sleep takes a back seat. I mean, it does. So if you like sleep, you
shouldn't have
gonna kids lose it. Yeah, right. So sleep really does take a back seat. And sadly, your own self care takes a back seat a lot of the times.
Yeah, I think that's what goes out the window.
Yeah,
I mean, for example, like my sister is really, really hardworking. That's how my dad raised my sister and I, to just, you know, put our work first. I mean, my dad's famous quote, and I don't know if I said it on my podcast before, but when my sister and I were young, he let us know. He's like, listen, when you get older, your looks are going to fade and your husband may cheat on you and leave you, and you're going to be left with nothing. And all you're going to have to fall back on is your career. So it's very important you get an education. It's very important that you have a job to support yourself, because you can't depend on anyone else. Mm-hmm. So my sister and I have always been very driven to have a good job. Mm-hmm. She's an attorney. Yeah. But and we're both really obsessed with becoming successful in whatever field we do.
Mm-hmm. Both are.
In her job, when she got pregnant and after she gave birth, it sucked because she was so obsessed with her daughter and she wanted to spend more time with her daughter. But then she felt guilty for wanting to be with her daughter because she wanted to go back to work because she was scared, like, they're going to forget about her. Mm-hmm. And, like, I kid you not, I don't know if this is even legal in a weird way, but they hired someone else to be there while she was gone. And, like, that's how much I feel like people don't take it that seriously when a woman just literally needs to bond with her child. Mm-hmm. And my sister, it was so hard for her to, like, you know, let go of her not spending as much time with her daughter to go back to work, but she felt rushed to go back to work because they're already kind of replacing her.
Yeah.
When she came back, they kept the woman in her position, and she kind of, not that she was demoted, but almost in a way felt like she was, because she was kind of replaced while she was on maternity leave, even though it's only natural for her to be with her child. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's just
nothing's perfect. Like, you'll never, if you want to have a career, you can have one.
Yeah.
But things aren't, it's like the expectation reality that we're talking about. If you expect to have a career and to be with your child 24/7, it's not going to happen unless you have a nanny with you 24/7 at work, which is, it's just, that's not going to work.
So do you have to lower your expectations career-wise when you have a child?
I turn down certain things for work for my daughter, and I turn down certain events with my daughter for my work. Like I said, you can't have everything at the same time. But my daughter is loved by me and she knows it. And I have to keep telling myself that every time I leave, because Wednesday night I do this directing thing. Every time I leave on a Wednesday night, she looks at me and goes, Mommy is going to something that she loves too. And mm-hmm. I want to do that when I grow up.
Making it like a teaching moment is really valuable. And teaching them too that the family unit is a team. And like when mommy and daddy go to work, you know, it's because we were working together as a team and like making it better for all of us. And we'd love for you to be a team player too. And, you know, find your passion one day and be able to be happy also. And, you know, working hard. So it's like really trying to sort of like create that visual too for them. And like, trying to relate them so they feel relatable to it, you know, like bringing them into that sort of dynamic. You know,
I feel like it's important to somehow in the workplace in the future. I mean, obviously things are changing, but I think it's a good to start to show instead of a woman in the workplace that gets far in life is the one that's super bitchy and cold or whatever. Yeah. Like, I feel like we should change the conversation and show that you can be a loving woman and still be tough, like a boss ass bee at work, and you can still have a family and have kids that you love and still get shit done. I think that's how what's important to change the conversation, because what would you guys say to someone that may look at you guys as working mothers and be like, well, you can't do the same job that someone that doesn't have kids would be able to do because they're more focused, they don't have a distraction like that.
Well, when you're a mother, you have to be 20 different jobs. So if anyone's gonna get it done, it's a mother. I mean, we are up sometimes 10 times a night if our kid is sick, and yet we still fucking go to work. We still research our projects. We're still here. You know, Roxy and I have never canceled a podcast because of our kids. Never. And the thing is, our kids are sometimes sick. They're sometimes at home. Sometimes they're out over the, you know, in the studio. If anyone's going to get anything done, it's a woman who's birthed a 10 fucking pound baby out of their vagina and still been able to, like, continue and keep their shit together. If anyone's going to do it, it's them.
Yeah. And your time management, because your time is so valuable too at this point as a mom, you learn to maximize your hours, and so you get as much done as you can in that same period of time. I remember, like, before I had kids, you know, when I was writing my blog and everything, and I still write my blog, but I would spend like hours crafting the perfect post, you know, and like really, you know letting it like sit for a minute, come back. Now it's efficient. Like, I've got a fucking hour. Like, I'm going to get this shit done. And it's the quality doesn't suffer. It's just the time. Right. I can just get it done in a shorter amount of time, right?
There's that that theory about the three-day work week. And they say when people have three-day work weeks, they actually do more than when they have five-day work weeks.
Oh, yeah, I've read about that.
Because it's very time effective, and they know that they have to get in and be focused and make sure that there's no distractions. I think that when we have so much time sometimes, it's like when you plan a wedding and you say, I'm going to plan it in a year. It takes a year to plan a wedding. If you say, I'm going to plan a wedding in 8 weeks, it takes 8 weeks to plan a wedding. It's like it just depends on how much time you give yourself.
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree with that. I think there was even a Sex and the City episode with Samantha when she had a child.
I knew I liked you. Pardon? I love Sex and the City.
Yeah, and like, I remember she struggled with that when she first had a child, and she was trying to really be a successful attorney and try to get the position. I forgot if she was a partner yet or not. And then first she was constantly missing her baby before she would leave before he woke up, and she would come home after he was put to bed, and like her nanny was judging her, but she was struggling to juggle. And then one day she was like, fuck this. And she decided to give extra time for her baby, and she never regretted that, just as like my mother when she became a stay-at-home mom. She never looked at me and resented me or my sister for not being able to be around, because my father traveled so much, so she had to be both parents for my sister and I. But like, that was the most beautiful time for her to be with her kids. And then when I was growing up, I always said, oh, I want to be just like my mother, where I want to be a stay-at-home mother so I can be I can spend every moment with my child. As I got older and I got so obsessed with work, suddenly my perspective changed, and suddenly I was just like, well, I want to have kids so bad, but I think I'll get really sad if I didn't also achieve my other goals. And then suddenly, I think at one point I felt guilty in my brain, thinking like, huh, am I then a terrible person that I want to keep working while if I have kids? But then looking at my sister, who's so similar to me, and I saw how she's able to love her daughter so much. I mean, my sister is somewhat of a selfish person compared to me. I'm definitely more selfless than her. We talk about that in my family. She can be selfish, but I love that she's selfish, because I think her heart's her heart gets broken less mm-hmm. often than mine does because mm-hmm. she puts herself first. And we were almost worried when she was having a baby. We're like, is she going to attach to her child? Yeah. Like, is she going to be able to love something? And the way she loves her daughter is, I mean, I can't even describe that type of love. Like the love between a mother and a child that my mom has explained to me, it's a new type of love that I can't wait to experience. But the way she loves her daughter and she's still able to love her daughter so much and go back to work showed me that like, okay, it is possible to do both and to still love your child just as much. Like it's beautiful.
Your child, I remember seeing both of them for the first time and I was pretty drugged. We all had C-sections. Both of us, we had three sections between us.
So were they planned or?
I had 2 10-pound babies. One almost killed me, really killed me. I almost had a uterine rupture, which means that her face was almost through my scar. Mm-hmm. I dodged a bullet because I tried to have, they said if I'd gone into labor that we both wouldn't have survived. No one talks about uterine ruptures. They're like, oh, it's only 2%. Try for a VBAC. And I did try for a VBAC and it would have 100% killed me.
A VBAC?
A vaginal birth after C-section. So I had a C-section and then I wanted a vaginal birth after my C-section for my second baby, but her face almost went through into my abdomen.
So after you have your first child and you had the C-section, it's more common to continue having C-sections if you continue to have babies.
They want you to do.
Because it's a very small percent and it is small and a lot of people have been very successful at it. Having a VBAC, vaginal birth after C-section, there's a small percent that you will have a uterine rupture, which means that your baby will go through your scar into your abdomen, and there's no symptoms except death. Your baby dies, and you die, you bleed out. The thing is, you know, I'm such an advocate for cesarean birth, not because I wanted a vaginal birth.
Cesarean birth?
Yeah, C-section.
Cesarean birth. These are new terms for me as I'm single and not a mother, so I'm just trying to learn.
I wanted a natural birth so badly. My daughter was, my first one was 10 pounds, had the cord wrapped around her neck, and I'm glad that we did because she wouldn't have descended and we both would have gotten in trouble. I did try to have this beautiful kumbaya birth for the second one, and we almost both died. Anyway, both had C-sections. When I saw my kids for the first time, I felt like I had known them my whole life.
Aww.
I felt like it wasn't foreign. It wasn't like I was looking at a child that was Roxy's child or your child. She was part of me and I'd known her.
That's so sweet. Why am I going to cry? Why am I so emotional? Am I okay?
Aww, did you feel that sweet?
I mean, I did. You know, for me, it was interesting because my husband and I had actually planned on not having kids. We didn't want
kids.
That's right.
Yeah.
So are you part of the pull-up method?
We were doing the pull-up method and it was working.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Was she a pull-up baby?
I think she was a pull-up baby because...
Okay, how does she not know?
Yeah, I think so.
Are both of your kids pull-up babies?
No, the first one, I remember exactly how it happened and where
you were on
happened.
Your period.
No, my second one, I'd had really bad miscarriages continuously, and they told me not to try. I want to go back to Roxy's story, but they told me not to try. And they told me not to try to have a kid, and so we pulled out on my period, and there she is, which means that God has a plan for you. Whatever. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go back.
Totally. No worries. We were not going to have kids. We were like, we're having a great life. We're traveling. We're sleeping in. We're doing whatever we want. And then I got pregnant and I was like, oh, so now we're pregnant. And my husband is like 10 years older than me. So he was like, I guess we're going to have kids. And see, when we first got married, he really wanted to have kids. And I was like, no, 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 absolutely not. I sort of brought him around to that way of thought. And then here we are. And now we're pregnant. So like the whole pregnancy, you know, I had a great pregnancy, this and that until the very end. And I'm so used to being in control and doing what I want. She was breech, and so
she was what?
Breech,
which means heads up first.
The heads up first.
Hey, wow, there are so many terms I'm learning today.
I apologize if I sound stupid. I'm not aware of them. Breech is like standing up.
Got it.
Standing up. So she should have been like with her head about to come out.
You can give birth to breech babies, but it's a risk.
It's a risk, exactly. And my doctor was like, we're going to try to turn her in your stomach. Mm-hmm. So you check into the hospital.
So painful.
It's so painful. No epidural, nothing. It's just medical students trying to physically turn her in your stomach.
I passed out.
White knuckling. Yes. White knuckling the table. Like it was awful. Needless to say, she didn't turn. I ended up having the planned C-section. But because I was in such denial the day of the C-section, I made myself purposely late to it because I wanted to have a vaginal birth.
I
made myself significantly late.
And you can't be late for that stuff.
Right. So much so where the doctor was like, are you even coming in to have this baby today? Like, what is going on? But I was so in denial and I was like, I really wanted to have the vaginal birth and I wanted things my way, but it was the greatest first lesson of parenthood for me, because I had to let go of control.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? It was like, okay, this is not going to be on all my terms anymore, you know?
Yeah. Talking about star signs, the second one, they said, okay, we're going to schedule you for a C-section. And she had a chance to be a Capricorn. Or what's after Capricorn?
Aquarius. Yes.
Now, I have a air baby. So I have a Libra already, and I'm a fire sign. And my first child has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. But she is spirited, if I can say that loosely. She is a firecracker. So I chose a Capricorn on Michelle Obama's birthday. And the second baby came out almost in a Buddha position. She has slept through the night since she was 6 weeks old. She sleeps 6 till 6. Have you even heard her cry?
I know.
You heard her cry the other day, but
not
like, it's
really
very rare.
I mean, never.
And it's
yeah.
funny, I chose an earth sign for what I needed in my life as a second child.
I think that's so cute that you think Capricorns are like Buddhas or whatever.
My husband
like,
is not a Buddha.
I don't think you did enough research on Capricorns. Stop. Like, I just ruined your whole life.
Well, my husband's, look, I get it. My husband is difficult.
Well, women and men are actually different. Zodiac signs, their personalities are different.
I'm freaking out.
It's
Why?
Not the same. Well, between girls and boys, it's not the same for each sign. Like, for example, well, Leos, I guess you're a Leo, mm-hmm. so boys and girls are kind of similar with a be outgoing, attention seeking, and all that. You're an Aquarius. Mm-hmm. Aquarius girls, super outgoing. Aquarius men are a little more quiet. They're also outgoing, but they're more like thinkers, mm-hmm. they're logical, they try to get stuff done. It's a little different from like Aquarius women. Sometimes they can be not airheads.
Yes, but
Libras
flight.
Are a little more airheads mm-hmm. than Aquarius women, but they're a little more like sometimes airheads, or you know, it's different. So Capricorn females and Capricorn men are also like a
Tell
little
me.
Bit well no I mean Capricorn sign in general, like I don't know, it's like, so okay, she's a Leo. Her husband's a Capricorn. They've been together for, what, 13 years?
Mm-hmm.
Shocker, but they're not compatible, zodiac sign-wise. But like I've said before,
I don't think we're compatible, but we are.
I'm telling you are not.
If that makes sense.
Zodiac sign-wise for your sun sign. I've talked about this on my zodiac podcast before, where you have a full chart. Mm-hmm. So just because your sun signs are not compatible, A, it doesn't mean that you can still, it just means maybe you don't communicate the same way and your emotions aren't the mm-hmm. same, but you can still understand each other. But if you check out your other signs in your chart, mm-hmm. like how you communicate, how you feel, mm-hmm. how you love, how you have sex, if those things are compatible, that's what can still attract two people together and they can still make it work. Mm-hmm. You know,
so you can override the zodiac sign.
Yeah, because sometimes you match with your most compatible zodiac sign, you guys still don't make it work, and you're like, I don't get it. Why? It's like, well, because one of you didn't try. Because mm-hmm. you can't just like count on your zodiac signs to be a match in order for it to work.
What about my daughters? What are they? Do they?
So one's a Libra, you said?
Yeah, and one's a Capricorn.
So she's just gonna, okay, she's, Libras, she's just gonna
love. She's so social.
Love. Mm-hmm. She's going to be
so social.
And she's going to love the idea of love. Sick. And she's going to be so outgoing. And it's going to be, she's going to get her heart broken a million times.
Oh,
but
no.
She's going to break so many hearts. Because Libra
is a heartbreaker.
Already,
yes,
she's got
yes.
boyfriends.
When I think of a
yes.
Libra, I think of, you know, in Gossip Girl, I think of Serena. So Libra, the perfect Libra description is Serena from Gossip Girl. That girl's a Libra.
Okay.
She walks in, you notice her in the room. She's really all over the place. She can be a little, like she starts drama and then she pulls out of it. Everything's mm-hmm. very surface level. And Libras, they have the best time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun for her. You're Capricorn. She's going to be a little more detached with her emotions. That's just how Capricorns are. And I'm sure, I don't know if
it's my first one.
Oh yeah, you
she's
can tell
like,
she's
can
gonna
tell.
Break hearts. She's so beautiful,
so cute. I'm like, you've seen her before.
I love
that. But Capricorn,
my other one, yeah.
She's her emotions are gonna be a little more detached.
Mm-hmm.
But Capricorn women, they're wonderful. I think when they're younger, they're more outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Capricorn men, way less outgoing.
He's so
work
not
is everything.
He's so not
outgoing.
No, he is.
He's
but
when he's uncomfortable around. In
he would
like,
rather stay
yeah.
home all the time.
Yeah, you're a Leo. You like the center of attention.
Yeah,
you
like
love,
to be out. So I
yeah.
think two people like that wouldn't work.
But sometimes it's good to have opposites. Like the current guy that I'm talking to, like we are complete opposites,
mm-hmm.
and we're still adjusting to the fact that we're really opposites. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm very impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
I can be pretty outgoing. I can be explosive.
Mm-hmm.
He's really calm. He likes routine. He likes a schedule.
That's my husband. Oh my God.
He's more mm-hmm. well because the guy I'm talking to is also an earth sign. So your guy's an earth sign.
If
so,
I say, "Can you go to the gym with me?" and it's outside of your schedule, he freaks out. He's like, I can't. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like, I need this. Like, we had a fight on Saturday night because I was like, can you just pick me up? And he's like, I have 10 more minutes here doing work. And I'm like, okay, can you just not work?
But Capricorns, they love working. And they're Capricorns are actually the least emotional signs compared to any other zodiac sign. So that's how you know a Capricorn man loves you, is when he's actually able to talk to you about his feelings and what he's feeling and being more loving. Like Capricorn men, I just did a earth signs about zodiac signs, and earth, like with Capricorn, they're not even tend to, not always, they have other signs, but like they tend to not even be that romantic, because to them it's like, okay, I'm looking for my lifetime partner and I'm just going to fit her in my schedule and figure that part out and then make sure she's a part of my schedule. Now that's them being romantic. They're not like the kind of guys who are like, I love and like, let me just say all these romantic words in the beginning. It's like, no, that's, I don't have time to flirt with you. I'm trying to figure out if you're my lifetime partner or not. Will we be having children? Okay, I'm going to put that in my schedule. Yeah, right. Like,
put it in the day-to-day. Let me ask you this, because you are a wealth of knowledge on this. My daughter is a Cancer.
She's emotional.
See? And she's very sensitive, right?
Yeah.
Very sensitive. But how does that play into an Aquarius and a Sagittarius parents?
You got like Sagittarius, like your husband's probably has a very easygoing personality. Mm-hmm. He can probably be quiet. It depends. I feel like different type of Sagittarius men, but he's probably like outgoing, very easygoing. And then Aquarius, same thing. You're outgoing, you're easygoing. Your daughter, she's developing, she's going to notice that she's really emotional. Cancer is actually the most emotional sign compared to any other zodiac. So she's probably going to notice, not only is she emotional, she feels other people's emotions. Okay. And she's going to have to learn what that means. But like everything's going to hurt her feelings. So she's going to have to get used to that. She's going to be very needy and she's going to get very attached easily. That's another thing.
It's
luckily,
first daughter.
You won't have that. Like Libras, those girls, they move on so fast.
Good.
It's great.
Like a good example of a Libra is the Bachelorette, Hannah Brown, Libra. Okay. She finds love. You saw how many loves she had. Like after the Bachelorette was over, she like still went for some of the old like guys from her show, like three different loves quickly. But she falls in love in that moment, and then it goes away, and she finds someone new. Mm-hmm. Like I'm so envious of those type of people that are just able to do that. Like I hold on to things for too long because I'm a Scorpio.
Why can't I be alone?
Pardon?
Why can't I be alone? Leos don't like to be alone.
No.
So funny. None of my Leo friends like to be alone.
But I mean, in general,
sometimes
as a person, you don't like to be alone, especially in this industry. But anyway, your daughter, she just has more emotions than you. And I think it's going to take you guys a lot of communication, but it's good that you're asking, because that means you're already going to try to understand her emotions better. Yeah. And I think you just have to understand that she's going to get offended to things faster than you would. And just because you don't react to something a certain way doesn't mean she won't. That's what people in general don't understand. When my sister and I fight, my sister's Sagittarius, she'll be like, well, I would never do that. And I'm like, yes, Karen, that's because you're not me.
Right. It's two totally different people.
Wait, but speaking, because you guys are married, there is something that I was like super curious about that I would love for you guys to answer this for me. Do you think when you met each one of you met your husband, would you say, quote unquote, it was love at first sight?
Yes. Absolutely.
I feel like people say that and I don't believe that.
So I was on a movie set, and this is not great right now because he wouldn't feel comfortable to have flirted with me, because obviously the hashtag Me Too movement, which is so important to be talking about, but it's also taken away. Sometimes the guys don't know how to be with a woman when they're into them, right?
Yeah.
So we were on set and he was my director and I was his leading lady, and he came to the door, knocked on my door. A week into shooting, and this would again
and was
never,
like,
never
I
happen.
Just took a dick pic. No. I want to see it.
Look at my big dick. He opened the door and he was like, I'm falling in love with you. It's the first thing he said at the door.
Wait, what? That does not sound like a Capricorn. Don't expect that from a Capricorn ever.
I am falling in love with you. And I was like, what? And then he tried to kiss me, and I spent an hour and a half like trying to let him kiss me.
Wait, were you guys dating at all yet?
No, we were doing pre-production. He was the director, I was the leading lady. So we spent a week and a half just getting to know the cast and know that whatever. And he's like, I just know like you're
the one.
Were
you guys flirting?
Yeah, but no, I didn't. I kind of took me off guard a little bit.
Okay.
When he kissed me, I felt it. I still remember this so well. I remember I was sitting on the bed and I felt it through my body. It was like electricity. my finger was in the electricity. Then I woke up in the hospital and I had electrocuted myself. And then this is a funny story. I don't even know if I should tell this story because I was consensual, so it was okay. Then he went to the bathroom. We had like made out for a while, and he came back, and he was like, had no clothes on, but he had his towel. He always says it was a very small hand dial, covering himself. And I was like,
he was really just ready.
Yeah,
she wakes up in the bed. He has a ring. Just take it.
The funny thing is, like, I was thinking, you know, I'm not someone who just like sleep. I mean, I've slept with someone on the first day before, but like, that's not my thing to go to. And it was just so intense, so fast. And then that was it. He moved in after the movie. Straight away. I actually had a boyfriend that I forgot about. Look at your face. I was so like 20 years old.
I fall in love with you. We make out. Go to the bathroom. I see him in a small hand towel. Your boyfriend's calling you the whole time.
My boyfriend kept sending me flowers, and I kept giving them to my co-star. So my co-star had all these flowers. Wait, listen.
You're such a Leo.
I was 20 years old. I didn't even like the guy I was dating. Oh. He gave me a Bible when I like got on the plane because he probably knew that like I needed it. And then I remember coming back to the apartment. I don't even know if I've told anyone the story. I should have left it for our podcast, but I'm going to give it to you. And I remember we were in bed. I was with Sean, my husband at the time. And I was like, oh, fuck, that boyfriend. I remember I hadn't broken up with him. He keys into my place because he has my keys, which I totally forgot about, too, because obviously I was so loved up. And then my husband went and hid in the closet with my dog. And my dog really hated him. And so, like, my husband keeps telling me that he, like, looked at my dog. And my dog was like, I could so fuck you up right now. I could so fuck with you right now. And the dog did not bark at anything. So my boyfriend came in and he saw my husband's backpack like right there, and it had a hat on it. It said like Missouri, because my husband's from Missouri. And he was like, whose backpack is this? And I was like, mine. And he was like, okay, so how's the movie? Which makes me realize that men will believe anything. So I got him out. He did leave bagels, so I felt bad about that. Oh, and I forgot the part of the story where he had my other dog, because two dogs, and he was looking at, look at your face. You're like, you're a sociopath. I was 20 years old.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
it's
no,
like, it was
a
long time ago. And so he left, and then I broke up with him on the phone like the next day, whatever. And then my husband and I have been inseparable ever since. We have no prenup. We've been together 13 years.
Okay, I love that story. But you know what always makes me laugh when like we love telling stories like this is that in this day and age, had a guy said the story right now, being like, oh yeah, I fell in love with this girl. I still had a girlfriend. Then she came over my house. She was taking care of the dogs. And I still didn't break up with her while the other girl was hiding in the closet. Then I broke up with her the next day on the phone.
I know, right?
Like, I feel like it's so funny how if a guy said this, you'd be like, you suck. But when a girl says this, you're like, you go, girl. How funny is that?
So funny.
You got it. Yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
Love at first sight. You've been together 13 years.
Yeah. So it was love at first sight for me too. We had actually had, what happened was,
you had a boyfriend.
He had a girlfriend that was there at the time. So here's what happened. We were in Miami.
Okay.
I was living in Texas at the time. He was living in New York City, and we had come to both work on an event in Miami. My common friend put us together. So we were working, and I just remember sitting at this lunch spot, whatever, and he walked in, and it was like our eyes connected. And I was just like, we just started like noticing each other and talking, but he was with this other girl, right? Mm-hmm. So then cut to like later on in the night, we're at the event, and I think the girl picked up on the vibes a little bit, and she was like, oh, she was like,
snorted.
She was like, your hair's kind of fake, huh? Like, totally giving, like dissing me the entire night of things. She knew something was up. She knew.
Was his dick in your mouth the obvious thing?
She's like, wait a minute, is that his
She's
dick
like,
in
is
your
something
mouth?
Happening? And Rock is like,
Yeah, I'm like,
Was the back coming away?
That was later that night. So later that night, she ended up going home. She was sort of like, not that fun. So we were at this event, and he
probably because she had a feeling her boyfriend was going to cheat on
her.
She was like a fun girl for some reason.
She was kind of a bitch. No. And so then at the event, you know, he pulls me to the side and he goes, "May I kiss you?" Like, so random.
Oh,
and I was
what
like,
"What is happening with you? What is
this? A long time ago, though. This stuff doesn't happen now,
right?" And so I was like, "Of course." And so we kissed, and it was very like passionate. And so we ended up taking it back to the bedroom that
night.
We
both slept back.
Because I total slept back.
I love the stories, though, that you guys both fucked your husbands on the first quote-unquote date.
And then it stayed. And you guys 13 still got married. And two kids.
So it just tells you, you don't always have to wait to have sex. They'll still. My sister also fucked her husband on the first date. But they were friends for a long time before.
I'm a big fan of test driving the car.
Yeah, I
want
to know.
You should test drive the car and know if you if it's there or not.
People wait till marriage, and I get when it's, I get when it's like for religious reasons. That's but sometimes people wait, and then I'm like, I don't want a lifetime of bad sex.
Right, a lifetime of bad sex. Yeah. Once you're in, you're in. You're like, oh god,
no
I do that.
Pun intended. Once you're in, you're in.
So that was like that weekend, and then we ended up. So I went, flew back to Texas. My mom picked me up from the airport, and she goes, gosh, you just seem a little different. Like, what's going on? And I was like, well, mom, I like met this guy, and it's weird, but I kind of feel like I'm going to marry him. And she was like, hold up.
She's girl,
like,
you crazy.
Girl, you crazy. She's like, girl, what? And then she was like, that's so weird. And she told me later on that she told my dad, she goes, I just talked to Rox, and she was like saying how she was really into this guy and everything. And then my dad too was like, wait, get more information. Like, what's going on? But that was that weekend. Yeah. And then cut to, I ended up going to visit him in New York. I was supposed to just go for a weekend. I didn't come home for like 3 weeks.
Wait, when did you visit him? Like a week after?
No, it was like, that was in August. I went, I think the first time in November to visit him. So we had like a space and
time. Oh, so you had
a
space in order for him to break up with his girlfriend.
Break up with the girl, because he broke up with her on the plane ride back. He was really bad. He was like, so I think things aren't working out anymore. And
but no, I put my dick in another girl's mouth.
Well, that's still good that he still like didn't continue for longer.
Yes. No, he was like, okay, no, we're going to.
So were you guys
like,
talking like every day?
We were talking every day, but it's funny. He told me he tried to push me away because we were so far away from each other. And he was like, there's no way this can work. It was like his logical mind was going. And he was like, how are we going to do this? She's in Texas. I'm in New York. Like, this is never going to work. And I think that when I went to visit him in that November, it was sort of undeniable. So from the time we met in August, we got engaged that March, that next March. So it was like 7 months.
Would you guys say that it felt like always easy with your partner? Because you know how they say when you know, then it's always easy?
No, we've been
That you still need to have work in the beginning when you're
not over. In the beginning. So for us, the beginning was super easy because he met
how
my
long
needs.
Is the beginning, would you say?
I actually say our relationship was really easy until we had kids. And then this last year has been a big wake-up call that you have to work at relationships, because when there's other people involved, like little children, you realize that you become passing ships in the night. Your needs, like, you're in the trenches with your best friend, but you treat them like shit. Like, it's in the middle of the night, you're so tired, you're like, where the fuck is a diaper? Like, you wouldn't say that to someone, like, on this. Like, the way you treat your husband when you're really, like, overwhelmed and tired is, like, you have to work at that. So my husband and I have been communicating better, and it's been life-changing. I feel, like, closer to my husband now than I did when I first met him, but I almost feel like you have to go through rough patches for that to happen and to wake up and to go, okay, I need to put just as much effort into my relationship as I do with everything else that I have.
But then my question is that I feel like, and I've talked about it with other people, I feel like now a lot of my friends were similar. As you get older, or if you're single for a good amount of time, suddenly I feel like even if you have the smallest disagreement, not even, you have a different opinion than your partner.
Oh, we had
a,
yeah.
Then,
right.
But like, no, even the beginning, if even the smallest thing, it's like, well, wait,
are we meant
I would
to be
do
together?
This,
yeah.
But you would do this. So then, wait, we shouldn't be together. And I get confused because in my head, I'm like, is this a fight? Or are we just learning that we're different people? And that's the one thing that I still can't understand, because when I hear other people saying like, well, yeah, it's supposed to be easy until you get married. Mm-hmm. I can't tell anymore what it means. If it means that, so like if people in the beginning, do you have disagreements or just how you react through them? Or is it like, is that makes it not easy? I'm confused.
I think too, like in the beginning, it's also like age, because we like, she and I have both been with our husbands for a long time.
21 years
right?
old. Like
so,
I,
yeah, you're
you
young.
You weren't set in your
different.
Ways yet.
Well, yeah, exactly. You much fight more, different, yeah. right? Like you fight different. Like you're a little more like, it's not as serious as it is now.
Pressure, financial pressure. Also, our husbands are 11. Mine's 11 years older than me.
Mine's almost 10 years older than me.
So I was really young and he was kind of, you know, in his 30s, so in a way he gave me what I needed, which is like a lot of, all I needed in my 20s was a lot of attention and love, really. I honestly didn't need like any financial security, not like I do now, you know, so like I don't think the pressure was as much on him. Now he's in his 40s, I'm in my early 30s. It's like, Yeah, I mean, it's different. The things we fight about are much deeper now, but yeah. I don't know what it would be like.
Like, these skid marks on your yeah, pants, on yeah. your, like, boxers.
My husband again. Does all the washing.
Oh, I love that.
And all the cleaning up.
Oh, yeah, he's super organized. He's clean, yeah.
Is that why? Capricorn, yeah. Is that why? Like, yeah. I just don't do it because he just redoes it.
That's awesome. Well, no, I guess you guys kind of figure out, like, what, to, like, who does what. Do you feel like it was easy until, like, the beginning of the relationship was super easy?
So I think, like, for us, well, I also had to move from Texas to New York, like, when we first got engaged. So, like, we sort of had a period of time. We lived together. We were engaged for a year before we got married. So within that time, before we actually technically got married, we were sort of going through growing pains of just, like, okay, now, because I moved to his apartment. So it was, like, his space, you know, so then it was like trying to create my own space. And I think when we fought, you know, I sort of felt like the ground wasn't always even, like, for me. And I feel like, too, because I was younger, like, I also was a little more immature, maybe, with fighting. Like, I was just like, fuck you, you know, like,
I think this I did that last night. Like, thinking, oh, shit, that's still so, going.
That's still me. Wow. Totally. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I mean, I still do, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think, like, now, maybe with fighting, at least, I try to make, I mean, it doesn't always happen, but I try to maybe envision, like, what he's thinking, which has been a hard, because I'm naturally selfish too, like, I mean, for me to, like, kind of come around to his side and be like, okay, this is probably how he's thinking, maybe I need to be a little, you know, more gentle and this and that. But I think for us, we went through, like, a growing pain. Like, the first year of marriage was a little tricky for us just because we were trying to figure each other out, and then like, there was a nice, like, you know, probably like few year period, 3-4-5 year period, nice. And then you, but you always go in, like, ebbs and flows, I feel like, like, right? Like,
it's getting older with
my mom. I remember with my ex-boyfriend, we were together on off for a good, like, I don't know, 7-8 years, I forget. And I remember we would fight, like, our fights were so insane to the point that, like, after dating him, I always thought it was supposed to be a lot of fighting in relationships, but we were passionate, and I felt like that's what love was, like, passion. And my mom used to always tell me, like, this is not it. Like, she was like, your dating is supposed to be your honeymoon stage, because if you think this is fighting, wait till you get married. Then is when you have real problems. Then real wait till you have kids. Then you have even realer problems. And I kind of, I mean, obviously I didn't learn my lesson. Then I was like, wait, let me have 5 more years of wasting my time before I'll be like, oh, she's so wise. Like, that's a good lesson. But yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I think in the beginning, it should be easy. It shouldn't be hard. I mean, fighting is one thing, but you shouldn't be fighting every day. It shouldn't be having issues every day. I mean, when you fall in love with someone, there's so much dopamine and serotonin in your brain. And the first sort of 6 years is when kind of like you're just all up in each other's grill. And then it starts to get like, then you have to keep dating each other and falling in love. And that's what my therapist has always said. A relationship that lasts is because you keep dating and you keep falling in love. Because sometimes you don't fall out of love, but you're distant with each other. And then so my husband and I have date nights every Friday, and we try to have sex. We try to schedule it twice a week. Like, even if someone doesn't want sex, we just lay there and we're just like, ugh. But it just connects you. And sex is definitely a connecting force, for sure.
And the important thing, too, like what you're saying about, like, taking the time and taking care is, like, learning how to negotiate and, like, how to fight before you have kids, right? Like, before you, because kids are just another added level of stress, you know? It's like,
for sure,
it's just an added, if you're not secure and, like, the foundation isn't very strong, it's just gonna get fucked up, you know? So it's like, you have to have that, like, base of support already there, right?
Definitely.
But, like, what, when you felt like that was your person, everything just went smoothly, and, like, right away, you just didn't want to keep seeing other people, or you just, was it some feeling that you, like, aside, you felt in your gut, and then suddenly you just, like, in romantic movies where you're like, if you're away from me for one day, I'll die. If you die, then I'll kill myself. Like, Romeo and Juliet, I mean, was like that.
I was pretty full on pretty fast. It was, but I don't know if that's
Leo's necessarily fall in love fast.
The right guy. I was into it. We were having sex a couple times a day. It was just insane, intense. And it's interesting because you say the Capricorn thing. He was into it too. So maybe I was just the right person for him then, you know? But he's much more, we're much more, you know, we love each other, but it takes work.
It's always like a thing. It's like a garden, right? You have to, like, tend to the garden, like, all the time. It's
my vagina.
Yeah, my vaginal garden. Marathon sex, like, you know, all day long. And it was like the passion is there. And it's like, there are moments, like, in married life where you the passion sort of like
you have to find ways to find them sexy again.
You do.
No, that says came out wrong. Please edit that out. You have to find ways to find each other, you turn each other on.
Yeah, I'm sure. Especially after kids. I mean, it's or especially being together for so long. But would you say the most important thing when you find your partner or someone you're going to want to be with forever is that they're your best friend? You're looking for a best friend, right?
Because we get old.
Yeah.
We end up wearing diapers. I know that's so depressing. We're not going to look like this anymore, no matter how many Snapchat filters we put on our face. Like, we're just going to get old. Like, no one doesn't get old. And at the end of the day, you want to wake up with someone and just shoot the shit and experience things together as friends. And hopefully I get a little diddle when I'm 90 years old.
Maybe the rocking chair.
Yeah. Oh, the rocking chair. I have a lot to look forward to.
No, that's really sweet. I feel like that my ex was never my best friend. Mm-hmm. So I never understood that that's what really you're supposed to look for. But like, as I've gotten older and I've seen how my sister is and they like her and her husband call each other their best friends, I was kind of like, oh, that's so sweet. Mm-hmm. So I feel like even my perspective has changed where I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not looking for someone to like just fuck and have fights with and all that. Cause that's not like long lasting. Like my parents, like they're still together because they're each other's best friend. They know each other sometimes, especially my mom can get annoyed with my dad sometimes, but like, that's except life, that like they're just best friends. So I think that's the most beautiful thing. Like when you're looking for your partner is to be like your best friend.
Yeah. Well, you think about that. It's like when you think of your best friend, the best friend has your back. They go to bat for you. Mm-hmm. They respect you. It's like all those basic tenets are what you want long term, you know.
You lose that, it's when the relationship starts to go funny. I think you will find the person you want to. Not that I'm saying that you're looking for it, but I definitely think you will, because you have so much self-awareness. And I think a lot of people, like I'm starting to develop my own, I don't know about Roxy, but I think she does. It's like when you start to know yourself better, then you know what you're looking for, and then you can actually fall in love with the right type of person. When you don't know yourself, then all of a sudden you're like, how am I in this relationship that I'm just not happy in? So, you know, that takes growth, and it takes like that word that we're saying, vulnerability. And then I feel like I've spent 3 hours talking to you, so I feel like you're growing and you're being vulnerable. And so when you're open to that, then the universe gives you what you need, not exactly what you want, but what you need.
At the moment,
there's a difference. Definitely. And you project that when you know that.
I love all that. All right, guys, well, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I had so much fun from doing yours to doing mine.
We know you so well. I'll never see you again. So well. It'll be so sad. I'm gonna slide into
maybe
DMs.
You'll see me again.
And if I slide into your DMs, you gotta be like, who is this?
Yeah, pretty much. Blocked.
I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway, where can people find you?
Ooh, at Women on Top Official on Instagram.
Which is your podcast.
Women on Top Podcast on Facebook. But we are, when you go to iTunes and Spotify, it's just Women on Top. That's all. Yeah. And it's a picture of me breastfeeding my baby.
And me drinking.
And she's drinking. Which is kind of like an average Friday night. So yeah, come and listen to all the things.
Which is on every Wednesday. They talk about everything from being a mother to anal to your fascination with poop, which we didn't get to cover. Thank God. But she...
Everything.
One of them, I'm not going to say who. I don't want to poop shame. Was upset that she couldn't. She has never seen her husband's poop, which is something they need to discuss and figure out.
He locks the door and I like yell. And he's it's because you're going to sit on my lap. He's like, probably. I'm probably going to sit on your lap.
So cute. That's their thing. That's how they keep the sex alive. They spice it up like that.
Oh my gosh.
But except that, where can people find you on social media with your personal handles?
Just at Tamin Sursok. TAMMINSURSOK.
And at Red Carpet Roxy with a Y, and that's REDCARPETROXY.
We can spell.
Yay!
Spelling game.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for coming on my podcast. And you guys, thank you guys so much for listening for another episode of Too Talk to Be Crazy with me, Viola Benson. Don't forget to leave me a 5-star review and kind of also a review of if you enjoyed this episode, what other things you want to hear on my podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Too Talk to Be Crazy on Instagram and on YouTube. And I love you guys, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.